It is such a blessing that we're able to gather and to worship our Lord and Savior, such a wonderful name, Jesus. What do we do when we reach the end of our rope? We talked about this last week and we'll continue on with this series. It's those moments in our lives when we are stressed out, when we're worried beyond worry, when we are emotionally, mentally, physically spent, and we are just done. Life and life situations have a way of just pushing us down to the end of our rope. We talked about how sometimes our ropes are frayed and frazzled. We have been up and down the rope numerous times. We've been to the top where we've experienced the joys of life, and we've been pushed down to where we're just hanging on barely by a thread. And for some of us, our ropes are just all knotted up. We don't know whether we're coming or going. We don't know how we're ever going to get out of the situation we find ourselves in. What do we do when we reach the end of our rope? Our Bible story that we're going to look at, continuing on, is the story of Elijah, God's prophet. And we get to take an honest look at his humanity, the emotions, the struggles that he goes through. And we see where he, at one point, was at the top of his rope, the highest of highs, experiencing the joys of life. And then the next moment, he is at the bottom, hanging on by a thread. And if you were here last week, you remember the story of Elijah. If not, just a real quick recap. God's prophet sent word to the king and queen. King Ahab was bad news. And worse than Ahab was his wife, the queen Jezebel. She brought into Israelite, into Judah, the god Baal, along with all the priests and prophets of this false god. And so God sent word to Ahab and to Jezebel, there's going to be a drought. They didn't really like this news, so went to pursue a famine. So Elijah took off. Several years later, God says, go back and tell them that I'm going to bring rain again. And so when he goes to tell them, they had this showdown up on Mount Carmel. Elijah and God versus Baal and all the prophets. God wins. Elijah has all those prophets of the false god Baal killed. Jezebel gets word, and she literally comes and says to Elijah, you are Elijah, and I'm Jezebel. Meaning, I am the queen. I am more important than you. And she says, what you did to those prophets, you're going to face a worse fate. Fearing for his life, he takes off and he runs. He runs all the way to the southern part of our kingdom, goes outside of their territory, leaves his servant, goes out into the wilderness. Alone, without any help, he is emotionally spent. He is mentally tired. He finds a desert bush, a broom tree, and he collapses. And in verse 4, he says, I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. We see here Elijah at a low point. He's done. He has no more energy to go on. He's just ready to give up. You could say that he's burned out, and not the good kind of burnout. If you've got teenagers, they want you to burn out all the time to be cool in your car or truck. Now, Elijah faced this real burnout. And so what we're going to do as we look through his story, we're going to see how God led Elijah from burnout to balance, from a point of despair to hope, to where he was able to find balance and wholeness in his life. And in hopes, as we look at his story, we can take some lessons learned from Elijah and apply them to our own life so that we may not only be healthy spiritually, but we also can take care of ourselves with our mental health, our emotional health, our health in our relationship with others, and what we'll look at specifically today, our physical health. So from last week, if you remember, we talked about those who have their membership to the coronary and ulcer clubs. And I hope if you were one of those, you've already canceled your membership. I have done the same. And if, as a reminder, here are some of the steps we talked about that you can take to avoid this possible burnout. If you remember, we talked about Divert daily. Each day, set apart some time to take care of yourself. Some me time. Whatever you need to do to recharge your batteries each day. Withdraw weekly. As God created the universe and the earth, He took one day to rest, the Sabbath. What do you do on your Sabbath? Do you rest? And it's important for us to do that. And then abandon annually. No matter how much you love your job, it's good to break apart from that routine from the day to day just to get away for the vacation. If you remember, I shared a story about a friend of mine who we had a week's vacation, and it was a conference. It's a great way for him to get away from work. And I asked his spouse, well, where is he at? Why didn't he come? Well, he has so much work to do that if he goes away for a week, it'll be too much for him to do when he gets back. So he just doesn't go. He just stays and works. I said, there seems to be something wrong with this picture here. So here we have this image, Elijah. He has ran and ran and ran until he is done. And we find himself here collapsed under this broom tree. And if you have your Bibles, I invite you to read along with me. We'll be looking at verses 5 through 8 in chapter 19 of 1 Kings. Then Elijah, he laid down and he fell asleep under the broom tree. And then all at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then he lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and he ate and he drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Oreb, the mountain of God. We find here Elijah, he's in a dark place. He's spent, he's burned out, and you could possibly say, more than likely, Elijah is depressed. Depression is something that a lot of people deal with. Unfortunately, some people deal with it on a daily basis, and there's others that I would say experience what we call a situational depression. I myself have experienced it on numerous occasions. I remember when I was a youth minister at a church up in Virginia. Those summer months are the prime months, those weeks that you get to spend with the teenagers. I remember at one point, and Melanie and I can probably remember the same thing, out of the 8 weeks that we had on vacation, we were gone 6 of them with our beach camps, our mission trips, our vacation Bible schools, kids trips, and other things. We were gone. They were wonderful weeks of ministry, and everything went really well. The kids were getting it. But when I found myself being done, I was physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually just spent. And then all of a sudden, it's time to start planning for the fall activities. And so I had this few days of depression. In ministry, we call it a funk that you just kind of get into. I remember another time when we went to Alabama. We moved our family down to minister to those in Perry County, one of the 20 poorest counties in the United States. And we walked from the little apartment that we were renting right past the ABC store, and I walked right into the county square downtown. And it's similar to Shelby in that the courthouse set in the middle of the square. But unlike Shelby, it basically had buildings surrounding just that one block. And half of the buildings were in disrepair. I walked around and you saw storefronts that were abandoned because there was no industry, no jobs. Some of the roofs had even caved in on the inside. A very depressing picture. And I started thinking to myself, where in the world have I brought my family? Why are we even here? And I found myself for about 3 or 4 days just being depressed. And if you've ever experienced it, you feel numb. You have no energy. You don't even want to go on. And so I imagine this is what Elijah dealt with, how he was not having the energy or desire to continue on. And so what did he do here when he faced this depression, when he was burned out, when he was at the end of his rope? He slept. So what happens when we sleep? Well, we get rest, Matt. Yes, exactly, but what else happens? Our spouse would say that they may not get a lot of rest because all you do is snore. I still say I have never heard myself snoring, so I don't, unless I see a video, I'm not going to attest to it. But according to the National Sleep Foundation, which I think is a step above Wikipedia in their accuracy, when we sleep, it affects our quality of life, our ability to function the next day, not only how we look and feel, but mentally and physically, it helps us to get rest. They say that when we sleep, there's two types of sleep. There is the REM sleep, the rapid eye movement, and then there's the non-REM sleep, which is more of that deeper sleep that we find ourselves going into. And this is the non-REM is where we sleep 75% of the time. And when we go to sleep during this time, our breathing slows down, our heart rate slows, blood is supplied to our muscles for them to relax. There are the hormones that our body needs that is being released. Sleep restores our body. It is important for us to get the sleep that we need, that our body needs. So how much sleep do we need? If you have teenagers, remember that time a lot. Can anyone remember the days when you used to be able to sleep till lunchtime? I remember those times when I was a teenager spending the night with my grandparents. I slept till about lunchtime and I got up and my papa said, "You slept so long, you missed your fortune. It's already done past." I still to this day don't know what he meant by that, but apparently you're not supposed to sleep too long because you want to find your fortune as they go. I can remember the days of sleeping till noon, but now if I sleep past 7, that's a lot. Teenagers need at least 8 to 10 hours. Adults need at least 7 to 8 hours. Infants need at least 14 to 17 hours of sleep. If only we could get that much, those were the days. When we sleep, we let our guards down. We allow ourselves to relax. Our body and our mind is restored. It's important to hear in this story that when Elijah was asleep, that God appeared to him via messenger. The Hebrew word here for messenger or angel is malak. Messenger, angel protector that was there. The presence of God was there while Elijah was sleeping, watching over him. Sleep is important. You still remember the prayer that we would pray, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep." I would say that there's something spiritual about our time when we sleep. We let our guard down. We allow our body to rest and to be restored so we'd be able to function on the next day. The average American gets less than 7 hours of sleep. We are a sleep-deprived nation. Next, Elijah, after he slept, he woke up and he ate some food. I would say he ate healthy food, warm bread and a jug of water. It didn't say that he ate a Snickers bar and a Monster energy drink. The scripture says that God provided there by his head some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank. He got up again and he ate and drank. The Hebrew word here for hot coals, resapan, the only other instance that this appears in Scripture was in Isaiah chapter 6. It's the instance where Isaiah is in this moment where he comes into the temple and God appears to him. And he says, "Woe to me, I am a man of unclean lips. I'm not worthy to be in God's holy presence." And so the seraphim takes this hot coal and he touches Isaiah's lips. It's a symbol of forgiveness, a symbol of Isaiah being purified. And it might be a stretch here, but how the food that we eat, the healthy food that we're probably supposed to be eating more so can purify and fuel our body the way that God intended it to be. What kind of food do we eat? How many of y'all have prayed the prayer, Lord, we thank you for this food. We pray that you'll bless it and help it to nourish our bodies. And so we have something going up there in the attic here. God, we want this. I'm more interested in what is going on there, guys. We got a committee here. There's nothing going on. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. So we're going to cut her off. Yeah, there you go. It was like very interesting there. And I can tell you, I know what's coming. And I'd rather see what's going on there than what I have left to say. But we're going to make sure we avoid any overheating projectors or whatever. If I see smoke, we'll end it and we'll say amen and we'll all go. I think that this was to, let's see here. Oh, yes, we're talking about the food that we're eating. And the prayers that we have prayed before, God, please bless this food to nourish our bodies. And then you're sitting there getting ready to eat a donut. I mean, you think that God's going to miraculously change that donut to a carrot so that it'll nourish. That donut's not going to nourish our bodies. The carrot probably would, but the donut wouldn't. So a lot of times we put this type of food in ourselves, a lot is junk food. And I'll be the first to admit that I do that. I remember the other night, every year for Christmas, my mother-in-law gives me those summer sausages, beef sticks, and I was wanting a snack. Right there was an orange and banana, but I went and ate the beef stick and the cracker and the cheese and the spicy mustard, and later on my stomach hurt. And I was like, well, that's what you get. But it's the choice we make that we should be eating the healthier food here that will help us to feel better. Especially I found myself, the more that I run, the more my body is saying that you need the fuel to provide the energy. And I start find myself, instead of craving the crackers and the potato chips and the donuts, that I crave more of the healthy food, something that I think would help me out more. But the average person follows the standard American diet, which could be shortened to SAD. A lot of red meat, processed food, fried foods, high in sugar. I recently read a quote that says, a lot of people are dying early deaths killed by their own hands if forks and spoons be allowed as weapons. It's important for our whole well-being for us to eat healthy. So Elijah, he slept. He got the rest that he was needed. He ate healthy. And then finally, Elijah was engaged in vigorous exercise. Scripture says that he got up and he traveled 40 days and 40 nights. It's estimated, it's not an exact location, but Mount Horeb from where Elijah was in the wilderness was 250 miles. That would be 520,000 Fitbit steps if you were to take that. Now, this is a text that you are not to take literally. Okay, Matt, I'm going to get up and I'll see you in a month and a half. I'm going to take off and Forrest Gump walk it or run all the way to California. No, but the point is that we should exercise. Fitness experts say that one could add 3 years to their life with the proper diet and exercise. But we get busy and we just push that aside. It's not necessarily a priority, and so we don't exercise the way that we're supposed to. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you from whom you have received from God? You were not your own, you were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Dr. Wayne Oates, who pastor and numerous author of books on pastoral care and self-care, he wrote, you can do nothing more spiritual than maintain your own physical health. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You serve God well if you take care of your body as a means of worshiping God. So when Elijah was at the end of his rope, when he was depressed, when he was spent, when he was burned out, God didn't show up and preach a sermon to him. or tell them to get up and to go to church, or just read your Bible, or go see a counselor. God restored his physical body. Elijah, he slept, he ate, and he took a long walk. To be our best self, to take care of ourselves, not only spiritually, in our spiritual health, our mental health, our emotional health, our health in relationships with others, and our physical health, we can follow those same steps that God led through Elijah. By sleeping well, by eating well, and by exercising. And it may be a stretch, but I even argue that there is something spiritual in all three of those. So maybe today, take a challenge to, if not this afternoon with the weather the way it is, to this week to get out and just to take a walk, to do something just for you, and to take that time and to experience just the surroundings and appreciate the beauty of God's creation, and to pray and to just try to do things a little bit differently than we have been, and allow God's presence to be with us as we take care of ourselves. And in turn, he will give us those that we can take care of as well. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, we thank you for all the many blessings that you bestowed upon us and the freedom that you've given us to make the choices in our life and our lifestyles, Lord, and we just pray that you will help us to be our best selves, to not only be spiritually healthy, but to take care of ourselves mentally and physically and emotionally, Lord. Lord, we know that sometimes it can be difficult to make choices in our lifestyles, but encourage us, keep us accountable, and help us in every aspect of our life to be the best that we can. We thank you for the examples that you've placed before us in Scripture. We thank you especially for your Son who you sent to us as an example for our lives as well. We just pray you'll help us to follow those examples. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.